Thank you, Sarah, for that number today. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 2, and we will read together verses 10 through 22. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 10 through 22. In Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon the rocks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. To go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Our gracious Heavenly Father, your word speaks to our hearts. It divides. It brings truth into a world of lies. It teaches us, Lord, of who you are and who we ought to be in light of the fact that we are created in your image. And so, Lord, today we would that you would speak through these lips of clay as you hide your servant behind the cross. Lord, speak words of truth and penetrate each of our hearts that we might hear, that we might absorb, and that we might grow according to your word. We pray these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Isaiah has been considered by many to be the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. I'm not sure how you would come to that conclusion exactly. Certainly one of the more lengthy prophetic books of the Old Testament. Isaiah would be speaking to a group of people at a time in Judea where idolatry was high and consideration of the Lord was low. He would be speaking predominantly in a period of time leading up to a 70-year period of exile where God would allow his people to be taken captive into a foreign land because they had turned his back upon them. They had turned their back upon him. The book of Isaiah, however, contains much of salvation. It talks a lot about a Messiah. There are more messianic prophecies in the book of Isaiah than in any other. It speaks of hope, it speaks of salvation, it speaks of the reality and points us to the fulfillment of all things in Christ Jesus. A lot could be learned here, a lot could be studied. I've chosen this passage for one reason, and you probably picked it up. There's a theme, there's a thought here in this chapter 2 of Isaiah. That is, that God is the high and lofty one. We have a problem as human beings. And our problem is we have a tendency to want to exalt ourselves. And that's the issue that God is speaking of as he speaks through Isaiah. And what we must be aware of is that God not only declares who he is here, but he declares what his expectation of a response is from us. And his expectation of a response as he has revealed himself to us is that he should be in our minds high and lifted up because he is high and lifted up. And Isaiah will make this point as God speaks through him over and over and over again in this book. I want to to read then, if we could, just a number of these, and I'll try to go as quickly as I can, because we do have a baptismal service at 2 o'clock. It only gives me 2 hours and 15 minutes. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." His very calling was founded on the fact that he had seen the Lord, and he had seen that he was high and lifted up. Isaiah chapter 55, the Lord tells us, if you turn there, Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 8 and 9, the Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You remember the close of the book of Job. God very preciously put Job in his place and said, "I am God, you are not." Isaiah chapter 52, one of the messianic prophecies speaking of the coming of our Savior, Isaiah 52, and beginning with verse 13, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which he had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard they shall consider." The Christ, as the girls sang today, a mighty name, the mighty name of Jesus. If you go to Isaiah chapter 40, and throughout this book, so much speaking of God as being high and lifted up. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 25, God says then, "To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things which bring out their hosts by number? He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth." A beautiful verse, Isaiah 57 and verse 15. "For thus saith the Lord, high and lofty one, that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Turning to Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. Speaking to us, the Lord says, "If you will turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." One more, and there are many more. Isaiah chapter 45. This seems to be a theme that God would bring to us through Isaiah and his word, reading it today. Isaiah 45, verses 20 through 23. "Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, you that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven images and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. And Paul would write in Romans chapter 14:11, as it is written, every knee will bow, and every tongue confess. And Paul would write in Philippians chapter 2 that there is coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, our issue is we want to exalt ourselves when he is the one who is high and lifted up. God is in reality always high and lifted up. But the question then is he high and lifted up in our hearts and in our minds? Do we consider him high and lifted up? I have this little book, and I've shared from this before. It's called The Valley of Vision. It's a compilation of Puritan prayers from the 1700s. I want you to consider as I read this passage the heart of the man who wrote it and what his attitude and what his thought was about God. And as you listen to these words and consider who God was to this man, ask yourself, does this sound like something that's demonstrated in my life that I consider God this high, this lofty, this preeminent? It's called The Infinite and the Finite. And he addresses God in this way, Thou great I am. It's not the man upstairs. It's not some anonymous God to whom you don't know his name. It is rather, as the psalmist would say, who am I that you would come and visit me? Who am I that you would take note of me? This is God. The Puritan writes, fill my mind with elevation and grandeur at the thought of a being with whom one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. A mighty God who amidst the lapses of worlds and the revolutions of empires feels no variableness, but is glorious in immortality. May I rejoice that while men die, the Lord lives. That while all creatures are broken reeds, empty cisterns, fading flowers, withering grass, he is the rock of ages, the fountain of living waters. Is that your view of God? Do you have a high view of God? And is that reflected in your life that you view him highly as reality tells us he is high? This last week, the age-old question has been answered. You see, you know the age-old question, right? Why did the pastor cross the road? That's the age-old question. Forget the chicken. That's been answered. It's why did the pastor cross the road? And I have been wondering, and now I have the answer to it, because as every day as I go home, and you know, most of you know where I live, and to the north of us across the road is a cornfield, and I've been watching that cornfield grow. And it's amazing on a year like this how things grow, and it seems like it was this tall, and all of a sudden now it's taller than that, and I'm looking at it, and I'm questioning, and I'm curious, and I know curiosity killed the cat, but I got across the road okay to measure the corn to see how tall it was. You see, that's why the pastor crossed the road. And so I got over there. Anybody got any ideas? Have you seen that cornfield? How tall would you guess it to be? 7 feet? Closer to 10, you know, and that's what I was thinking, all of that, and yet I got over there, and I took my tape measure, and it was kind of in the cool of the evening. My wife and child were gone, so they didn't see the embarrassment of it all, and I ran across the street when nobody was coming, and I went to measure that, and you are going to be shocked at how tall that corn is. It is only about 3.5 feet tall. That's all the taller it is. If I measure it from where I see. If I measure only from my height to the height of the corn, it's only about 3.5 feet tall. It's not that amazing of a thing. Now, it seemed amazing from across the road. And then I realized, that's right. We don't measure it from where we're at. We measure it from the ground up. 9 feet tall. And as I did that, I thought to myself, what do I do with God? How do I measure him? And if when I read a Puritan prayer like that, the majesty of God and declaring how high and how lofty he is and how beyond my understanding every aspect of God is, when I read something like that and I reflect upon my prayer life, I ask myself, have I got a distorted view of God? Am I not seeing him in the light in which he is? Am I living in some kind of a fantasy where I have become so casual about God and so not discerning of his grandeur that I can't even see it? And if so, is the problem that I'm not measuring from the ground up, but from a position of exalting myself, and therefore God doesn't seem that grand? You see, because Isaiah had an encounter with the living God. And when Isaiah had the encounter with the living God, his response was one of humility. I am a man of unclean lips amongst a people of unclean lips. When people came and encountered angels, they fell on the ground as if dead. That the proper position in reality of a holy God is to be face on the ground, not standing. But you see, we have an arrogance about us. We have an arrogance, and we begin to think even as we grow in Christ, that somehow we are more than what we are. And as the song says, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I begin sometimes as a human being to measure my how I'm growing, how high am I getting. But I tell you, the best we can do is measure it with a ruler when God is infinitely higher than that. The cults of the world, the false religions of the world teach us that we can become God. I'm here to tell you, you are never going to be God. He alone is God. Sometimes I look around and I see the things that the church has done, and it goes contrary to God's word in my estimation. And I know I'm probably just an old fuddy-duddy to quote the Greek, but I look around and I go in a Bible bookstore and I look at books and I see pictures of author after author after author. When people are presenting themselves, it's because he's got this kind of a doctorate and this, and he is the most acclaimed. And it looks to me like what we do is we put Christians on pedestals and we exalt them, and something in us wants to be exalted, when the danger of that is throughout Scripture. You know, I turn on the radio, and again, maybe I'm all wet, I don't know, but I turn on the radio and I can't understand for the life of me how you're gauging what the top 10 Christian songs are. For the life of me, I cannot figure out who's going to win the next award in Christian music. Who's gauging that? And who's being exalted? And who do we set up on a pedestal? And who do we follow? And is that person possibly myself? You see, Scripture doesn't talk anything about us exalting ourselves. It speaks just the opposite to it. It teaches us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us in due time. Jesus spoke of it. He who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We don't have the ability to add one cubit to our stature, Jesus said. And yet something wants to climb up a ladder, and I am reminded of the Tower of Babel. And God destroyed it and scattered them and confused their languages. And yet within our fallen nature, there is this idea that I can gain and get up to the level that God is. No, Isaiah speaks to us today. He speaks to us in our arrogance. He speaks to us in our pride. And the word is, the lofty looks of a man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. The loftiness of men shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord shall be exalted in that day. That's two different verses saying exactly the same thing. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. Proverbs 3 and 34 is drawn out of, in James 4 verse 6 and 1 Peter 5, 5. God grants grace to the humble and he resists the proud. Jesus said, whoever is going to be greatest must become servant of all. That the idea is not to be self-exalting, but to humble yourself and to serve, and let God be God, and we his humble servants. Walk humbly with your Lord. Maybe you don't have a high view of God. And I want you to examine your heart. Maybe you don't have a high view of God because you have too high of a view of yourself. We are reminded that our lives are but a vapor. We're but grass. We die. He lives. God is God, and I am not. Gracious Heavenly Father, I love your word because you know who we are. You know our fallen nature, and you know our tendencies. I look into the book of Acts, and I see where Paul and Barnabas, and they were calling them gods, and Paul says, no, don't do that. Don't exalt us. Don't lift us up. Because Paul understood that God alone is to be exalted. His name alone is to be revered. He alone is God. And so, Lord, I would today that you would help us to examine our lives. Maybe we've been measuring things from the wrong stance. Maybe we need to get on our faces before you and begin to look up from a sense of humility and face on the ground. Maybe, Lord, we're like Saul in the Old Testament. When Samuel came to him and he said, When you began, you were little in your own eyes. But then Saul began to think of himself as something more than he was, a servant of the Lord. We use the phrase, Lord, we've outgrown our britches. And Lord, sometimes that happens to us. As we gain in understanding, as we gain in knowledge, as we, Lord, are working and serving and being a part of our Father's business, sometimes, Lord, we begin to think that we ought to be promoting ourselves. But Lord, we are nothing without you. And so, Lord, I would that you would allow each and every one of us to look at our own hearts. Do we have a proper high view of God? And do we have a proper low view of ourselves? And so, Lord, help us to see that. Help us to see that, Lord, throughout the course of the day, we cannot do anything without you, that we are completely independent upon you, that we are nothing without you, so that, Lord, you might receive the glory that is due your name from a people who recognize who you are as the high, the mighty, the lofty one, King of kings and Lord of lords. May it be so. May it be named among your people as we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.